Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh,
I got it.
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what'd you think of Godzilla?
There were some choices made in this film.
Yes, this is true.
But I don't know how many of them were choices made about the film and how many were made about the adaptation to Blu-ray.
Fair.
But overall, we'll get into details. It is a good film.
Okay. Well, for those of you just joining us, welcome. This is You Want Me to Watch What, where Chad and I recommend movies to the other that the other hasn't seen. We've been friends for, feels like, forever. Mm. And that's not a bad thing. We've seen hundreds of thousands of movies, probably.
Thousands, definitely.
Hundreds and or thousands.
That is an accurate statement.
And so, you know, we talk about movies, we watch them, and then we talk about them. So this week's selection is the 1959 Godzilla. I'm sorry, 1954.
I was going to say 54.
Yeah, 54.
This is a Toho Co. original, man.
Yes, 1954 Godzilla, the one that started it all. So the movie starts off with the Japanese freighter, the Ikumaru, just floating out in the ocean, and suddenly there's a flash in the water, and it's destroyed. And over the next few minutes of film, nobody's really sure what happened. Reports are coming in. Another ship goes out to figure out what happened. It's also destroyed.
They send wave after wave of men. Godzilla did not have a kill limit.
No, he didn't. Every time a ship goes out there, it seems to be destroyed in a very similar fashion, and nobody's sure what's going on. On the island of Odo, it's a fishing colony off the shore, off the Japanese shore. It's said that an ancient sea creature named Godzilla is to blame for it. And because the old traditions haven't been followed, he's angry and enacting his revenge. Well, it's not that far off.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Modern life is weird.
Yeah. A typhoon hits the island and almost everything is destroyed. Tokyo sends reinforcements, and that's when they realize this is more than just a typhoon. There are large footprints. There's radioactivity everywhere. There's little... Trilobites. Yeah, trilobites that have thought to been extinct for millions of years. Then they see Godzilla rising up over the top of a hill.
They see Godzilla. Clearly, 1954.
Yeah. Clearly, this is something far beyond just a natural disaster.
Well, he's an animal.
Okay, true. True. A weather-related natural disaster.
Okay, now we're on to something.
Yeah. you bring in paleontologists, they discover that, you know, they determine he's the last of his species. He's from the Jurassic area, living in an underwater cave, sealed off from everything else. And continued atomic testing has disturbed his slumber, and that's why he's risen.
I tell you, them H-bombs.
Yeah.
Who knew giant radioactive dinosaurs would be a side effect?
Who knew?
Wasn't on my bingo card.
No. Over the course of the movie, Godzilla shows up from time to time, makes landfall. Nothing they can do to stop him. Bullets, fighter jets, nothing.
Nope.
Eventually, he makes landfall in Tokyo and lays waste to the city.
Lays waste. All right.
There is a subplot to the movie involving Emiko and her arranged fiancé, Serizawa. She doesn't want to marry him because she's in love with somebody else. But Serizawa is a very very intelligent scientist, and it turns out he's created something called the Oxygen Destroyer, mm-hmm. which, when put into water, kills off all the oxygen and just decimates all life.
Liquefies biological material.
He discovered this by accident, but knowing what it can do, Emiko pleads with Serizawa to use it to help destroy Godzilla,
mm-hmm.
which he eventually relents and does. And at the end of the movie, they use it, and Godzilla is destroyed, and Serizawa kills himself in the process so that this device cannot be used by anyone ever again. He's destroyed mm-hmm. his notes, and he's destroyed the only remaining thing of it himself.
Unfortunately, he didn't foresee that there'd be another, like, 17 times this would happen.
This is true. So, that is the long and the short of Godzilla.
Yes.
There are the undercurrent subplot involves relationships between mm-hmm. Emiko and Serizawa and her family, and the culture at the time involving atomic testing, because this mm-hmm. is not too far removed from the end of World War II.
No, it is not.
But the overall plot is big monster comes out of water, destroys city, they destroy monster.
It is a man versus nature.
Yes, movie. Exactly. It is exactly that. Let's talk about your thoughts a little bit more. What choices were you talking about?
We watched the Criterion Collection version. And a couple of weeks ago when we did Rashomon,
mm-hmm.
and it looked clean and clear the whole way. Like, it looked like it was made on high-definition cameras
mm-hmm.
from yesterday.
Yeah.
You know? And in this one, you have scenes that are like that. But then you have other scenes where it's very clear the amount of grain and scratch lines and light flickering and so forth that is unusual. And so it's like there are certain, in terms of just kind of having a persistent vision,
mm-hmm.
it felt very like, okay, now we're getting this old 1950s style experience, and now we're getting this 2000s experience. So this is experience of the film, right? This isn't the film itself.
Yes.
And so I'm watching it and like, so why did they do this? Why? And got to thinking, it's mostly when they're outside dealing with Godzilla that things start to go real scratchy, grainy, mm-hmm. dark, and so forth. And so I wonder, and this is maybe giving too much credit, is it that the Godzilla stuff is meant to be, the Godzilla stuff is meant to, because he's radioactive, have degraded the quality of the film. Because it's when he's on that the film is all funky. Or is it because it's 1954, the monster looks dumb, and they're trying to hide it a little bit?
I think you're giving too much credit. I do like that headcanon, though.
Yeah. And that's niddly little stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
I can shine a little light on that.
I'm listening.
Toho Studios was not in the best place financially when they made this movie.
Okay.
And this almost bankrupted them. Had this not been a success at the box office,
uh-huh.
Toho would have gone under.
Really?
So it is most likely cost cutting and minimal special effects mm-hmm. for the time that were adding to that sort of issue. Mm-hmm. A lot of stock footage may have been used for boats traveling on mm-hmm. the ocean and stuff like that, which has its own grainy quality that if mm-hmm. it's on the negative like that, you really can't clean it up.
Right.
So there's a difference between the film used to film the actors versus what they spliced in to add to mm-hmm. the ambiance.
So the next piece, and this is through any of the Godzilla movies that I've watched, the mini game is not strong. You know, when they use the models and they,
yeah,
it's like, Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what that helicopter looked like earlier.
No.
It's again, it's niddly little stuff.
It's niddly little stuff. Looking at it from a 21st yes. century perspective.
So here's where Godzilla shines. If you don't see it as a monster movie, if you watch it instead as a human story dealing with an extraordinary situation.
Yes.
You know, the movie 2012 is, you know, really fun and interesting to watch and so forth, but not if you're focused on the disaster.
Mm-hmm.
It's only interesting if you're focused on the people involved.
Yes.
And here, the three kind of main leads are interesting. Mm-hmm. And the way that they interact is interesting. And so that makes it better. The Godzilla stuff, it's almost a benefit that Godzilla's on the screen for probably 15 minutes of the whole runtime.
Yeah.
You know, there's like the great big section there about two thirds of the way in, but for the most part, he's not.
Yeah.
Godzilla's not in the movie.
It's almost like Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
You see very little of the creature until mm-hmm. the end almost.
And so I really appreciate that. And once I kind of fit into my head, it's like, oh, Godzilla's the title character, not the main character. Once that happened, the movie evened out. Like, it made sense now. You know, and I wonder, people going back and watching this now, it's like, you know, what is that for Godzilla movie? It's not. You know, Godzilla's in the movie, mm-hmm. but this is about how people triumph over extraordinary situations, which
yeah.
Japan had just had to do.
Exactly.
You know, in terms of rebuilding after a couple of, you know, bombs.
Mm-hmm. And I will say that that trend gets less and less prominent as the Godzilla movies go on. I've seen them all. I own them all.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the second one, you know, Godzilla's on there. You know, again, he's the title character, but not the main character, but he has more screen time in that one.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you get to the fourth or fifth Godzilla movie, which is in color,
mm-hmm.
they've definitely got a bigger budget now. So the suit is
mm-hmm.
air quotes, more detailed.
Well, and the suit wasn't bad. The head was bad.
Yeah, the head was bad, but Godzilla has more screen time. There are close-ups of the creature
mm-hmm.
Moving as you progress through the film series. And so he becomes the main character, where the human stuff is just to get from one monster fight scene to another,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to this one where the monster stuff is there to push the human plot along.
It's to push the narrative.
It's to push the narrative.
And so seeing it that way, very good movie, you know, well-paced for the most part. Couple of those slowdowns kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about that in different cases.
Oh, yeah.
Like sometimes you just make a choice. It's like, I want to focus on these people a little bit
mm-hmm.
and we're going to do it come hell or high water.
Yeah.
You know, and a couple of times when you get a scene, it's like, okay, this is the desperation. This is the sadness. This is the results and consequences. You didn't have to go that hard.
No.
But as a movie, it works. The structure of it is very clean. You know, it's very much act one, act two, act three, kind of split, which works to its advantage in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really enjoyed it. I was wondering if I was going to enjoy it about 25 minutes in. Like, the beginning caught me with the explosions underwater and so forth. I'm like, okay. And then we went a really long period of time where the monster wasn't there and we had kind of the bodies washing up
mm.
and kind of around then that's when I had to kind of flip the switch in my head. It's like, oh wait, no, not a Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
Human movie with Godzilla.
Yeah.
So,
the American release of this movie, Godzilla King of the Monsters, actually quote unquote starred Raymond Burr.
Okay.
So what they did was they got the movie. They filmed new scenes with Raymond Burr.
Was he like the the talking head on the TV reporting all this stuff?
No, he was actually they spliced him into the movie where he was there as an American reporter talking about stuff.
I see.
And so the Americanized version starts with him in the hospital in the aftermath of the attack.
Oh.
And then he reminisces about what happened.
I see.
And so they got some of the Japanese actors from the original cut in, refilmed some stuff with Raymond Burr. It's all English voice dubbed over.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were able to kind of splice him into it to make it a more Americanized story. So it's the same story.
Basically.
Man versus nature.
Okay.
It still ends the same way,
mm-hmm.
but it takes a slightly different route to get there.
Okay.
Because of the way they kind of re-edited some of the stuff.
Huh. Someday I'll be interested in watching that.
It might even be on that disc as a bonus feature.
I mean, not today.
No.
But
I've got it, so that's mm-hmm. something that we can definitely do at some point.
I can say, I think that'd be an interesting take.
Yeah. And I considered showing you that one, but at the end of the day, I wanted you to see the original idea and
I think I'm
thought.
Happier. I'm happier seeing the original.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because there's no way to judge what comes without knowing what came before.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, I mean, go see it. I mean, it's not going to end up on repeat, probably, but...
No. And honestly, out of all the Godzillas, this isn't the one I go back for a lot. This isn't my favorite.
Well, I mean, they can't all be King Kong versus Godzilla. The best of the Godzilla movies. And ironically, the King Kong movies.
So anyway, it's your turn.
Yeah. I'll come up with some.
All right.
Hello, meet Popsicles. Why don't you grab your multipass, a drink, and come sit with us?
Let's pick each other's brain. We want you to be part of our intimate conversation about science fiction topics.
Let's do this. Join us, and let's talk about science fiction topics in books, movies, TV shows, and games.
At Science Fiction Remnant, you are invited to listen in.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And don't forget your multipass.